Congregation, let's read first from the Lord's Day 48, question 123. Which is the second petition? Thy kingdom come. Let us rule us so by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church, destroy the works of the devil, and of violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also our wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. So far. The petition for God's kingdom to come. The theme for tonight, the petition for God's kingdom to come. With the help of the Lord, three thoughts. Where that kingdom is. If you ask, thy kingdom come, where is it? Where is the kingdom of God right now? Let it come. Where is it now? Where that kingdom is. Secondly, being a subject of that kingdom. Are we all subject of the king? Something needs to happen. To become a subject of the king. And in the third place, seeking the kingdom. This can include in praying for the coming of the kingdom is seeking it, longing for it, seeking the kingdom of God. So again, the theme is the petition for God's kingdom to come. Where that kingdom is, being a subject of that kingdom, and seeking the kingdom. Let me start with the boys and the girls, if you're still not in bed. Do you remember? We had talked about the most perfect prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Maybe you know it by heart. And there are petitions in that most beautiful prayer. Petitions, different prayers. Petitions. How many? Just tell your dad. Tell your mom. How many were there? Six, right, six. So three and three. The first three are different than the second three, right? Remember? What's the difference? You may tell your mother. Well, three times it's thy, and three times it's us, right? Three times our fathers are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So God is first, right? And then the second part, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. So where are we at right now? We are at the second petition. And we pray tonight, and we discuss the prayer, we preach on the prayer, thy kingdom come. I hear God's people say, yes. Oh Lord, may thy kingdom come. What does that mean? That's exactly what it will be about tonight. What are you praying when you pray, thy kingdom come? Now you know that God is king already. Over the whole universe. He's king already. Everywhere. In the stars, in the universe, the Lord is king forever and ever, we read in the Psalms. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Oh, he is a great king over all the earth. Let the children of Israel rejoice in the king. He is the king. So where is he king? Everywhere, right? Or not? Are there certain places where God is not king? There's nothing to say? There's no authority at all? No, those places don't exist. God is everywhere in his omnipresence, with his power. He keeps everything in check. It's all in his control, so he is king everywhere. So why do we pray then, thy kingdom come? If his kingdom is everywhere anyway, already. Well, although God is king everywhere, he is not acknowledged everywhere. There are many places where God is not acknowledged at all, where people are still hostile against him, and that's actually the state of nature in our hearts. To rebel against the God, to let him not have authority, to be not a willing subject in the day of his power, but resist him with all our power, all our might. And there are areas in this world, and there are so many hearts still, where God is not king. Well, he has all the say, but he's not acknowledged and revered as king. So when we say, let thy kingdom come, we say, Lord, let that kingdom come also everywhere in that sense that people are willing to serve thee, that people surrender, are submissive, are willing, are serving thee. So that is quite a subject in the Bible, the kingdom. Especially in the Psalms, and especially in the New Testament. In the New Testament, I think I can say that the coming of the kingdom is the theme, the main theme of the preaching of Jesus. And if you look at the concordance and you type it in, kingdom, and you see how many texts in the Bible are about the kingdom and what it says about the kingdom, it's amazing. It's everywhere. So let me mention a few expressions. Entering into the kingdom. To inherit the kingdom will be something. To inherit it. The gospel of the kingdom, it's called the gospel, is typically a kingdom gospel for that purpose. To receive the kingdom in the heart, to be translated into the kingdom of God as the children, to be translated into the kingdom. To take the kingdom by force, the kingdom being at hand, to seek the kingdom. The Lord can also take the kingdom away. It's in many places, the kingdom of God. One of those interesting ones is, the kingdom of God is at hand. At hand? In what sense? Is it close by? In what sense? Well, God wants to be acknowledged everywhere, and in heaven he is. In heaven he has all the authority, not only, but is also revered by all the people in heaven and by all the angels. So his kingdom is in heaven already. Where is it? In heaven. And it will come down. It's about to come. It's close. It's getting closer. And the Lord is working on it. And in a sense, the kingdom is coming already here on earth as the shadow of it. So that's why we pray for the coming of that kingdom. But let me give you also some details to understand better. Some are quoting Luke 17. And they say in Luke 17, it's clear. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's strange. The kingdom of God within you. You say, well, some people say, well, that means that God is king in the heart, within you. The Lord Jesus telling the people that he lives in the heart. Well, A scan of heart in the context, when he was demanded on the Pharisees. So Lord Jesus telling the Pharisees that the King of God is in their hearts? I don't think so. But I've heard kingdom, basileia, can also mean something else. Can also mean the reign. Not the kingdom, the reign. And also can mean the kingship, simmered. The king, the kingship, the authority, the reign. So I would think that's meant here. That the king is in their midst. So when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the king of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, the reign. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the king of God is within you, among you, close to you. Don't you see me? I'm the king of the kingdom. The king is so close to you. I came down from heaven. So the kingdom has mainly a future characteristic. It will come when the last day comes. But also already here on earth, a little bit, in a sense. The shadow coming. Suppose you walk in town. The sun behind you. In front of you, you see your own shadow, your own shade, your own shadow. And you walk up, and you see yourself. There's a corner to the right, and you just stop right before the corner. So someone else on the other side doesn't see you, but sees your shade, your shadow. So the shadow goes in front of you and announces you're coming. And so the kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming. You see the signs are on earth. Things are happening. The Lord is preparing a people for the kingdom. So where is the kingdom? The kingdom is mainly in heaven. And it's a future kingdom, but there are already things happening here on earth as well. God's kingdom coming. There'll be something. The kingdom of God can also mean salvation. Knowing the mystery of the kingdom. Knowing the salvation. I think again of that text translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So translate into the kingdom is something that's happening right now. To become a subject of that kingdom in the heart of God's people. I think, for example, of the seed falling in well-prepared soil. That is they that understand the mystery of the kingdom. So the kingdom is already on earth. In the heart of God's people, in a sense. Yet they have not entered into the kingdom yet, but they will. Because they have entered in a spiritual sense already. There'll be something. So the church is not exactly the same as the kingdom. Because of the kingdom there is a church. It's the kingdom of God on earth. And that's organized in the church. The church is not the kingdom. The church is a witness of the kingdom. The church is also an instrument for the kingdom. And the church is also using the keys of the kingdom to pronounce people alive or dead. But most of the time, it makes the best sense to read the future kingdom. So we need to be born again in order to enter into that kingdom someday. And yet, it is close. Remember the 1,000 years reign from Revelation 20? What did we say before? That we already live in the time of the 1,000 years. Having started with the coming of Christ, that will end at the second coming. Satan, in a sense, is bound. In a sense, he cannot prevent, remember? He cannot prevent the Bible to be translated in more languages. In a way, he's bound. He cannot do what he wants to. He would like to ruin the church completely. He can't. So we live in the time of the thousand years of reign. So in that sense, Satan bound, the kingdom is here. For the kingdom, Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom is of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom is. That's a spiritual thing already here on earth. Matthew 12, 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Also meaning the king has come to you. It's so central, the kingdom, that all the parables are called the parables of the kingdom. And all the miracles Lord Jesus did are the signs of the kingdom. It's so present in the Bible. So think of the miracles Lord Jesus did. What type of miracles did he? Did he ever do a miracle like, I can lift up that stone? You can't, but I can. He just lifted up that stone, the huge stone with one hand, one finger. No. No, the Lord was not interested in those types of miracles. His miracles are most of the time miracles of care. Healing the sick, delivering them possessed with devils, with a spiritual meaning in there. Because we are also by nature lepers, and he can heal that disease and heal the soul. But those miracles do not only teach the Lord Jesus' compassion with people, and does not only has a deeper meaning that there is forgiveness of sins. All miracles have that meaning. But all those miracles are also a picture of the future. All miracles are a picture of the future. Nobody will be sick. Nobody will be blind. Nobody will be possessed. And God will take all the tears, wipe all the tears away from their eyes, from their heads, their faces. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he has come to save a people from their sins, but also to let people enter into the kingdom of God. So they will be have the true happiness, and there will be no disturbances anymore. Let me read to you from Isaiah three pieces. 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. That's a peace, that's a picture of the new kingdom. There will be absolute peace with no blood shed. Isaiah 65, very similar. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And thus shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, say the Lord. And Isaiah 33, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell in shall be forgiven their iniquity. So where is the kingdom? The kingdom is not here yet. It's mainly coming future. But it is also in heaven. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he asked, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the kingdom is, in a sense, spiritually, in the hearts of God's people, being prepared, those shadows before them. So, at the end of my first thought, Are you interested in that king? Would you like to be part of that kingdom? Would you like to be a future-oriented person? Not seeking the kingdom here, but the kingdom that's there? Would you like to be to repent and to believe and to be part of that kingdom? Would you like to praise that king and be at his feet? Oh, seek that kingdom of God and pray with the church. Oh, may thy kingdom come within and outside and in the world and in the future. May that kingdom of God come down from heaven. Rule us so by thy word and spirit, seated as he below, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. That submission is also happening here on earth already. Preserve and increase thy church, destroy the works of the devil. So may thy kingdom come, and all violence it should exalt itself against thee. So that brings us to the second thought, becoming a subject of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is coming, and the Lord is preparing a people for that day. So how can we be prepared for the coming of that kingdom, that eventual coming? That final coming, how can people be prepared for that? The first thing I think about is to be reconciled with God. That's all that counts, no? If that king is your king, if you're reconciled with that God, if your sins are forgiven, then you're prepared. Without that, you're not prepared. So I would say, read the Bible. Listen to the word of the living God and pay attention to what that kingdom is about and seek that kingdom of God and its righteousness. Think of that oil in the lamps of those five wise and five foolish virgins. You need oil and enough oil so that the lamps keep burning. What we need is conversion, repentance through faith. To come to yourself, to meet with yourself, to turn away from sin, and to turn unto God. So you turn to yourself, you turn away from sin, and you turn to God. Three times turning. It means to not serve the world. Do not serve yourself. It means to feel sorry for your sins and taking refuge unto the King, to the Almighty One. He only wants to be, and he only can be, the Savior. There's no salvation outside of him. We need to walk on that narrow pathway, also the narrow pathway of God's commandments. Because think of the funnel, a thin piece and a wider piece. With some, you have the impression that it's so hard to get into that funnel on the wrong side. As soon as you're through there, you can do everything. It's wide. So at first, it's difficult, right? When you have the funnel upside down, to get in there, it's difficult. You're in there, it's wider and wider. But the biblical message is the other way around. It's wide to us. God's hand stretched out to us. Enter ye in. But then it's a narrow point. And the rest of your life, God's people, is narrow. A strive for holiness. A prayer for his kingdom to come. Not taking it easy at all. But striving. Battling the good fight. What's interesting is that often it says to inherit the kingdom. What's so beautiful about that? Instead of only hearing, enter ye in, or repent ye, also says to inherit the kingdom. If you inherit something, you did not work for that. Your dad did, or your grandfather did. You did not do anything about that. It's given to you. It's a free gift. And that's also true for this kingdom. You can inherit it. You cannot work for it. You cannot pay for it. It's free, and it comes, and it comes. And not everyone will inherit it. Not all people are heirs, but all the elect are, right? And they receive it. They receive it by grace, in God's free and sovereign grace, for no reason in themselves. And the doors will be opened, and they inherit the kingdom of God, paid by Christ. So that's why we need to realize that we are standing outside by nature, not being part of the kingdom. And then to knock on the door of the Lord. Knock and you shall be opened unto you. To knock on the door, to not let go. As a poor one, as a bankrupt one, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? Not the rich ones, but them that are poor. They're poor in the deepest sense. They cannot work themselves. They cannot perform well. And they're the heirs of the kingdom of God. We read about that, for example, already in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is a very important psalm regarding this. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. I inherit the Lord. That's the most important part of the kingdom. Thou maintainest my law. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, a goodly heritage. I have a goodly heritage. Because not everyone that saith unto the Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So in all those texts, the kingdom of God is mainly the future kingdom. And we are asking mainly in the second petition for that coming. It's here in the end, till the full perfection of thy kingdom takes place. It's at the end. But I think it's quite important now. That's the final, that's the prayer in its fullness. Until the full perfection of thy kingdom take place. Let's not forget about that. It's not only about being coming prepared. It's also saying, Lord, Lord, come. Come the second time. May we inherit and always be with thee. Thy kingdom come. That kingdom is coming because the price has been paid and the battle has been won. It was a victory. The Lord Jesus said, it's finished. He paid the price. But it's possible that a king conquers and that the territory is still occupied by the enemy. And that's just in a sense also true today. The king has received the victory. No worries. He has won the battle against all the enemies, the mortal enemies, Satan, the world, sin. He won the battle. But still, it's quite a struggle with all those enemies still here. Think of the Second World War. When the Allies won the war. The Germans are fleeing. But although they're fleeing, they're still dangerous. And so it's here. The kingdom is coming. But the enemies are still dangerous. So thy kingdom come. The kingdom is in heaven. The kingdom is in the heart. The king is coming, but we also must become a member of that kingdom. So that means that we are no kings ourselves anymore. We need to give up our kingship. We like to be boss in our own lives and kings forever. We're so haughty and not willing to bow before the king and then to remember him as the king forever, and to lose the battle yourself and to give in and to capitulate and to turn yourself into that king. That's the best thing there is. And then to rely on the king entirely, seeking salvation only in him. The second petition. Where is the kingdom? Subject of the kingdom. In the third place, seeking the kingdom. When someone is converted, that person does not need to ask for conversion anymore. You think so? Well, he time and again feels unconverted. Feels kind of, I need to be converted again. Again, again. God's people never come to a point that they have it. And that's also we're praying, thy kingdom come. Then the kingdom has come in their hearts. They don't say, well, I don't have to pray for myself anymore. I pray for the God's kingdom, for mission work and other people that they may convert it. No, they keep praying for themselves. Thy kingdom come, Lord, please. Also in my heart still. Lord, continue working my heart. Rule us, soul by thy word and spirit. Rule us, Lord, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. So praying for the coming of the kingdom in the heart of God's people means a continual fight, a continual asking for more and more submission to the king. They never come to a point that they don't have to pray it anymore. That's also true for the text, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can say, well, if you found that kingdom, you have it, put it in your pocket, you keep it, you don't have to ask anymore, you don't have to seek it anymore because you have found it already. No. Seek the kingdom of God is a permanent seeking the rest of your life. Constantly seeking, seeking, seeking. The original word for seeking is still intense, not just seek a little bit, casual seeking, no, an intense seeking. We as people, we are busy, very busy. Busy with food and drink and clothing and making money and being happy and selling and buying and marrying and giving to marriage. And you know what the Lord says about the times of Noah. But that means so earth-oriented and not kingdom-oriented, not future-oriented. And that's not seeking the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom is your eyes up, your eyes towards heaven. Seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Being prepared for the coming of the kingdom, because this world will perish. The elements will burn. We might be seeing the signs more and more, what's happening in the States and what's happening also in the pandemic over this world. It was a surprise, right? Last year we did not think this would happen. It's so unexpectedly. And so much more can come unexpectedly. With North Korea, China, flooding, earthquakes. We don't know what's ahead of us. But may yet pray, thy kingdom come. In spite of all that, thy kingdom should come, Lord. That makes all the difference. So to seek that kingdom. Seek it for ourselves personally as well. Seeking the kingdom where God reigns and also seeking righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God first and its righteousness It's righteousness. Well, that's not only forgiveness. Righteousness here also entails holiness, living a holy life, being afraid of sin, and walking on the narrow pathway, seeking that kingdom of God, striving to enter in. So that's why God's children remain seekers. Not doubters, I hope. Seekers. Some people think God's people should be doubters their whole life. That's normal, to have doubts all the time and never get over those doubts. That's not right. Although there are doubts, no doubt about that. But that's not something we can accept and we should approve of. But they remain seekers, though. They remain busy in prayer for themselves, in walking that narrow pathway, remaining pilgrims, and to submit more and more. So that means to grow in grace. Thy kingdom come, rule us. I can't rule myself. I don't have the power. Lord, help me. Rule me. By thy word and spirit. So read that word and pray for that spirit, that we may submit in all circumstances. When things go wrong, when things don't go my way, may I still submit myself more and more also to the love of the Lord, to the law and to all circumstances. Oh, preserve and increase the church. Do we pray for that? Also the times we live in. It's hard for many. Being in church, or most of us not being in church, and then to stay connected. That's a dangerous situation for the church as well. So pray, thy kingdom come, Lord, and rule us more and more. Preserve, increase the church. That's possible. Also the times we live in, the Lord is increasing the church and destroy the works of the devil and all the violence which would exalt itself against thee. So there might also be some of that violence, some of that animosity against the church. Who knows? But the Lord also wants to hear us about that. Wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. That's very actual. More and more, the church is persecuted. More and more, the church and the laws of the Lord are not taken seriously anymore. And people ridicule it and resist it and forbid it. And what's going to happen in the next years, we don't know. We pray, Lord, that thy kingdom may come. In spite of all that's worrying us, we keep praying. Preserve the church, increase the church, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, and God shall be all in all, all in all. Think of that. All in all. So in all the people in the kingdom, no exceptions, God is all. All in all of them. God is big and sufficient, and in all of them, they're satisfied with his image. They're the Lord's people. They have satisfaction and the true joy in their hearts. God is all for them, in all of them. Seek that kingdom. And in that future kingdom, it is better than here. So if there's here communion of the saints, is sometimes, right? It's the communion of the saints. God's people understand one another and love one another as God's people. If that's true here, it will be more so on the earth. Over the love of God for his people. For the love of God's people for God. For the love among them. God all in all, and they love one another in perfection. So therefore, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, forgiveness, and sanctification. Now, I told you before, probably years ago, that I was dating my wife. And for the first time, I came to what's now my in-laws' family. And of course, my father-in-law asked a blessing at the table. And he sometimes used an expression that really touched my heart. I still think about that. He often said, "Lord, let none of us will be missed around the table of the Lamb." I thought, none of us missed? So all the kids are around the table? The whole family? Really? That sounds so unreal. All converted? He prayed that. Kind of indicating that's possible. The whole family is saved. All of them. Is it also your desire, parents, grandparents, that all of you, no exceptions, may all be saved, all be part of the kingdom of God, all rejoicing for the Lamb? Pray that. Pray, Lord, may we all be there. Thy kingdom come for all of us. So I felt not only generosity when he prayed that, but also felt opening. I felt that it's possible. It's possible that all the children are saved. And that so the kingdom of God will be full. So don't believe Satan. Satan says, maybe one per family. Satan says, you know, maybe a few in the church. No, he is a liar. We pray, Lord, may thy kingdom come. And we have the highest thoughts of God, of his power, of his willingness. He saves the people from their sins for himself, for his glory. So that kingdom of God is coming. God is busy with that. God is preparing things for that. Things will fall in place someday. And then looking back, we will say, see, the Lord has been busy. The Lord has been busy with building his church. So let us pray for ourselves and pray for our families and pray for the church and pray for the neighbors, pray for the country and pray for the mission work. Something is wrong now. Something is missing now. Because what did we say in the beginning? The second petition? Was a me petition or a thy petition? Thy kingdom come. Let us pray for God's kingdom to come because he is worthy of it. Not praying so selfish, Lord, we must be saved. No, but praying, Lord, that thou may receive the glory. It's thy kingdom after all, not my kingdom, not my church. It's thy kingdom. For thy glory, Lord, for thy name's sake. Which is the second petition? Thy kingdom is his. He paid a price. That kingdom was given to him in a sense, in eternity. He paid a price for it on the cross. He rose for that reason. And he also gave the Holy Spirit for that. So that kingdom is coming. And we pray also for Israel. We pray for the persecuted church. That the Lord may preserve them and increase their church to destroy all the works of the devil. Also, young people, you probably experience the wicked counsel devised against the Holy Word of God. You sometimes encounter that there are powers against the Lord and against his anointed. And maybe sometimes they attack you as well. And then pray this for the Lord's sake. Thy kingdom come, Lord, also in my own heart. Yes, pray for yourself. And open that Bible every day. for yourself. As a young person, open the Bible and ask of the Spirit that the Lord may make it powerful and irresistible to your heart. May it make you jealous till the full perfection of the kingdom takes place. Full perfection. Nobody will be sick. No problems at all anymore. No divisions. No differences in opinion. No church splits, and you name it. But God will be all in all. Be jealous of that. Say, Lord, may I inhabit that kingdom for thine own sake and glory. 6 petitions. Our Father that is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's first. His name is be hallowed. But even in heaven, they pray this. In heaven they still pray, thy kingdom come. Because the fullness has come into heaven, but not on earth yet. So God's people in heaven can still pray. Can still pray that the Lord's kingdom might come. They for sure pray, thy will be done. They for sure pray, hallowed be thy name. But also this. But when it's over, when the kingdom has come, when the last day has come, when the Lord Jesus gives that new heaven and new earth, then this prayer will be over as well. Because then the kingdom has come. And then there is an eternity long of glorifying God and praising his holy name. Seek that. Seek that kingdom. Intensely seek it. The kingdom of God and its righteousness and all other things. All them will be added unto you. Amen.